Hey, this is Matt Goshard, host of The Massive Report. We want to thank everybody who's supported us through our first 100 episodes and obviously through any of the episodes going forward from here. If you're interested in sponsoring the show, MassiveReport.com is the place to go. Also, if you like what you hear and you're interested in donating, we do have a donation link up as well. The show does cost a bit of money to put on, and anything that we can get from you guys would certainly be helpful to continue the show going and continue to bring you the program that we bring you every single week. Once again, thank you so much for listening, and this is The Massive Report.
You are listening to The Massive Report podcast, your complete source of information, news, and analysis of your awesome town crew.
Open wide for some soccer!
You're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened to then?
We passed then.
When?
Just now. We're at now, now.
Go back to then.
When?
Now.
Now?
Now.
I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just now.
When will then be now?
Soon.
This club, and any sports franchise for that matter, should be a sacred community asset. That is how we're going to treat the crew. Our goal will be to take the crew to be one of the standard bearers in the league.
And look at the Nord deck there. The crew faithful, ever so loud. Yeah! Buddy.
And welcome, our Memorial Day edition of The Massive Report. My name is Matt Goshard, joined by Patrick Gildon, Sam Fahmy, turning the gears and doing all that sort of stuff, Nate Beckman, Chris Lamacchia, Chris Edwards calling in from China. We'll be talking to him in a few minutes, and a cast of thousands as we are actually at, and your child crying in the background.
Yeah.
Aw.
She can't wait for it.
We're doing a live show tonight. Obviously, if you didn't know that, then that was completely a moot point. Hi to everybody who's watching us on the internet. As you can tell, not at Hendocks today. Instead at Sam's fortified compound somewhere around the Easton Mall. What?
Strawberry Fields.
Strawberry Fields? Forever.
Forever.
Yeah, Strawberry Fields forever. I did want to say one thing. You know, I've been to Sam's house a couple of times, and I really appreciate the fact that you have a drinking fountain in the bathroom, Sam. I really do. You know, it's weird that it comes out of the toilet, quite honestly. Like, that part's kind of confusing to me, but other than that, I mean, it's nice.
Does
to
it
get
serve
a,
beer?
It doesn't. It's just water, and the water kind of tastes funny, but okay. It's a refreshing way to end after a poo.
You'll never be
so I appreciate that, Sam.
And you can change the temperature.
You can, the temperature of it as well. I know.
Oh,
I don't know who
that
wants
drinking fountain.
That, yeah.
I was so confused.
Yes, I was making
a
bidet joke. Yes, that's what that was.
Because I knew Sam had a bidet.
Isn't
and I've used
president?
The bathroom many times. I've just never seen a drinking fountain in the bathroom. I was so confused.
Because the water shoots
Matt,
up.
Your highbrow humor is just too much for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, the water shoots up.
And
what did we just break?
Patrick's broken.
No,
the one writer on the show just dropped his beer.
Yeah, way to go.
Way to go,
good
writer.
Job. That's why we can't have nice things, Patrick. So,
got a drunk ants underneath this patio.
There are so
there
many
will be soon.
So many drunk ants. So the crew win 2-0, which none of us predicted. Justin Bell actually came the close by saying that the crew would score all the goals. And what was your actual prediction, Justin?
Five nil.
Okay. Yeah,
usually,
Justin said 5-0. So we'll be bugging him later. Also, segment two, I should not have not said this until now. Gino Padula is going to come on as well. I point. The camera's not on Gino. None of you can see him. I assure you Gino is here.
He's over there somewhere.
He's over there chilling.
On stage left.
Yeah, he's over there chilling, hanging out at the barbecue. Crew win 2-0 against the Chicago Fire, against a incredibly injured Chicago Fire. Let's start with that, Patrick. What do you make of this?
Well, coming from, the Fire had not been shut out all year, and the crew backline does that. They didn't look terribly dangerous. Berhalter, after the game, talked about his lineup shifts, and, you know, one of the eyebrow raisers was, Jimenez at right back. And he said, you know what, I wanted offense. I wanted to pin them back, and I wanted to play our game. And then Jimenez come in, and he does his thing, and, you know, Ethan Finley comes in, and he just tears Greg Cochran to
really
pieces.
Anything.
And then it all comes together. So he really wanted to put things on Chicago on the back pedal, and you know it went all according to plan except for, you know, an unfortunate yellow card. Nope. I think we'll discuss maybe here in a little bit. But, yeah, it was a lineup that was designed to take the game to the Fire.
Chris, what do you think? Did you get a chance to watch the match? If so, Chris Edwards. Yes, not Chris Lamacchia.
I watched the whole match.
You watched the whole match. You were not blacked out in China?
Yeah.
Did you finally get Tunnel Bear installed?
I was blacked out from Time Warner.
Oh, okay. I have to drink now.
I was blacked out by Time Warner. I watched the Chicago Fire stream. So,
that's so,
yeah. So I
you can watch the Chicago Fire in China, in mainland China. You cannot watch the Columbus Crew.
Good to know.
Yeah. Is that why they have so many players on FIFA? Go ahead, Chris.
I'm guessing so. It's the only thing that makes sense. But, look, I watched the game, and obviously I was happy with the result. Just on that yellow card, and I may as well mention it now since Patrick's brought it up, I've just pulled up the box score from the game. Apparently the reason for Higuain's yellow card was encroachment, which seems like a Jason Christ reason for a yellow card in my recollection of the game.
I thought it was just a 5-yard penalty, not a yellow.
No, and there's a little note after the game on that. He stepped in front of a quick free kick, and Berhalter specifically mentioned that. He said, you know, that's something that they really haven't been calling all year. You know, it hasn't been necessarily consistent. And then his next comment was, like, in my book, that's a yellow card each time. You're preventing the team from playing. So I think he's probably a little frustrated by the yellow card. Higuain had said that he thought he had another yellow card to give before getting suspended. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a little oops there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was kind of interesting after the game that it was one that, you know, Berhalter doesn't necessarily he thinks that should be, and you know it makes sense for the Crew to do that because you know they want to play quick.
Mm-hmm. Nate, what do you think? Go ahead, Chris.
I thought it was I originally thought it was for dissent at first. That's mm-hmm. what I thought the yellow card was for originally, which would have made sense at the time since he was arguing the decision. But I also thought it was funny that Amirakwai got done for diving in the box. That was my other amusing fact from the day.
Yeah,
I did. To see Amirakwai get done for diving in the box. That was my other really funny part from the match.
That was rather comical to watch that and then to see his reaction. Yeah. I thought that was pretty funny. Nate, yeah. what'd you think?
On Higuain, I think he was going to get a fifth at some point, no matter who he was against. I wish he was available against Toronto next week because it's Toronto and because, you know, it's an Eastern Conference team in general. But I think the thing that struck me was about the lineup and how many changes there were, how well they did. I think in the system that Berhalter plays that requires so much from his wing play, so much physically, it just makes sense to me to shuffle the lineup as you're going throughout the season not to burn out a lot of these players. You know, if you got a basketball team that's playing nothing but run and gun, you're going to see 8-9 guys deep frequently. And I think down the spine of the team, there won't be so many changes. But on the wings, it makes a lot of sense. And Chicago is kind of a wounded deer this weekend, but you know, I hope that going forward we still have success if we start to shuffle that a little bit more.
So other than the fact that you can't couch or you can't Jeep surf, Chris, what did you learn from the match?
Well played. It's actually interesting you phrase the question that way. I learned that our youth needs to get more time.
Oh yeah.
Our young guys showed a lot of brilliance. They showed a lot of chutzpa, if that's the correct pronunciation. I'm looking at one of the Patricks to correct me on that one. I think that this club has a very bright future, and nothing against the veterans, nothing against, you know, the guys that have been starting week in and week out, but maybe it's time to start looking at some new guys and some fresh legs. I don't know if it's the fresh legs, the fresh mentality, the chip on everybody's shoulder. I don't know what it was about the youth movement this weekend, but it worked out really well for everyone involved. Well, you can look at Ethan Finley. You can look at Eric Gehrig. Those are two guys who've been around for a while. You know, this is his second year, right?
Second or third.
It's his third year. It's Eric's fourth year. So they've been around for a while. They know how MLS works, but they haven't gotten regular first team minutes, other than unless somebody in front of them gets injured. And I think it's time to change that. I think it's time to give these guys and guys of that generation a chance to make a name for themselves and become regulars.
Well, this kind of leads into the question.
Can I jump in on that?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. This is something that's been discussed and has actually changed in Australia recently. With our youth teams, they've been offered the opportunity to play a youth team through the winter months in their lower state leagues.
Okay.
So it would be like if the lower divisions in various leagues across America had MLS clubs youth teams playing in them through the winter months.
Well, that's
and so youth teams are playing across the country. Certainly, Perth Glory's doing it. Newcastle's doing it. Brisbane Roar's doing it. There's about four or five clubs doing that right now and playing their youth clubs every week through the winter to help them get up to speed for when the league starts again in October.
Well, that's really interesting, and that's something actually Larry Johnson and I, when we were going to the game against Dayton, the friendly against Dayton, we're talking about this in the car, that they basically, Chicago Fire has this, I know Seattle Sounders have this, a few other teams have this, is that they play an under-23 team in the PDL. And is that something?
Yeah, but that's at the same time of the season.
But they're not.
You
but,
need them
but
playing
these guys
12
are,
months of the year.
But these guys aren't getting any minutes anyway. You know, Eric Gehrig, his first run out this year was against Dayton Dutch Lions this week. You know, and they're not getting
yes.
they're, that just in and of itself, looking at that or looking at actually having a Columbus-owned USL Pro team in somewhere like Toledo or Cleveland or Akron or something along those lines, where you can put your guys who aren't starting for the club.
And unfortunately, that's going to be a little bit difficult with how MLS rules are. The contracts are a little more limiting on that, and it's true that more people need to play more minutes, and that's some of the tie-in with the USL Pro. I know Larry has talked a little bit about that previously, and, you know, LA Galaxy have LA Galaxy 2. Seattle is rumored to be starting one in 2015. FC Dallas is rumored to be starting one in 2015. The Crew have the tie-in with the Dayton Dutch Lions. The only problem with that is that it's a limited amount of people that will get to play there. And also, if they want to move up to a second team, is that it's a tremendous cost increase. So still trying to balance the money with being able to get enough players run outs, because, you know, this weekend Ben Sweat and Fifi Baden played for the Dutch Lions.
Mm-hmm.
They made impromptu loans down there to get some time. And while this works out for the Crew, a discussion for another time, how much this works out for, say, Dayton.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, an interesting discussion. And yeah, we'll definitely continue that as we continue along. Back to Chicago. Talking about that a little bit more. Higuain with two assists, obviously going to be missed in the game against Toronto. We'll talk about that a little bit more. But Finley and Arrieta, especially with their goals, did look pretty impressive on those runs. What did you guys think as far as that goes?
I'll take a nutmeg all day long.
Yeah.
No, I think the fact that that's what we pay hire Arrieta to do, is mm-hmm. to make that run and receive that ball from Higuain and then finish. And
he aggressively won that ball,
yes.
too. Higuain's touch was like a masse in pool, where it spun to the right around the defender, but it required Arrieta to get in there and be aggressive on it, and he was, and then he went straight to goal.
And you know what's beautiful is Ethan Finley did the exact same thing with the ball that he got.
Yep.
He also saw what was going to happen.
Yep.
He anticipated the ball coming from Higuain. He made the correct moves to get to the ball, and then what did he do? He juked the keeper, put it in the net. Everybody was happy. Beep was happy. I think it's great that we see that coming from our veteran striker, who we pay him a lot of money to do that, and also our young guy who wants to get paid a lot of money to do that.
And Berhalter especially called out Finley and mentioned mm-hmm. Arrieta had put in a good shift in Portland, that you have a guy like Finley who is out of the 18, who isn't making the bench, you know, claws his way into the 18, claws his way into the subs rotation, and then, you know, claws his way into the first 11, and, you know, that's the kind of attitude that he wants to see. And,
exactly.
you know, there's a lot of competition within that team right now that you have people who are clawing their way up the lineup.
And he scored three goals last week. Yeah. I mean, if you count, count Dayton's, you know, game, which if it's, you're a striker, that's very important. I mean, just to get some confidence up.
Yes.
That's, so you, you think, okay, now Finley's starting, and so now you've got maybe, you know, lineup changes in Toronto that you need to account for.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Chris, I'll give you the last word on this before we go to break.
All right. Good result. It'll be tough against Toronto next week, but it's one game. They'll be missing players. Obviously, Michael Bradley's not going to be there because he's on World Cup duties unless Jürgen does what he did to Landon Donovan and drops him from the 27, unless he's announced the full 23. I can do the maths. I'm Australian. Maths isn't my strong point.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and yeah. We use English units, so it's a different, it's not metric players.
Yeah, it gets lost in conversion.
Yeah, it's totally, it's not the same kind of players.
Yeah, exactly. The conversion's a bit. Exactly. Yeah. I just do want to add one thing. I don't know if you guys have seen BuzzFeed recently. They do have 42 things only truly intense U.S. soccer fans will understand.
Oh, God.
We're out there.
Numbers 34 to 37.
Yeah. Oh, the Columbus.
34. You consider Columbus, Ohio, sacred ground.
Nice.
Number 35, you have a favorite goal that Landon Donovan scored against Mexico. Although they've spelt favorite wrong. Favorite without a U.
Yeah.
No, they spelled it wrong.
Uh-huh.
Number 36, you have a Dulcicero tattoo. Number 37, you don't have a Dulcicero tattoo, but you're now starting to seriously consider one.
Tattoo envy.
That's excellent. Chris, thank you so much, as always, for coming on the show. Oh, go ahead.
I'll give you one last thing, because I've got a class in 10 minutes, and I'm not going to be able to hang around for the second segment.
Uh-huh.
You talked about TV deals recently.
Yeah.
Okay. Australia, $160 million for 4 years. Every game live. That's every game live on pay TV. Every game on Friday nights on a 1 hour delay, and every game live streamed on an $80 subscription service to 65 countries across the globe.
Wow. That's not bad.
Are there blackouts?
Yeah. No blackouts. Well, unless you're in one of the other on one of the other 140 odd countries elsewhere in the world.
So Northern Cyprus is blackout.
Radio.
Mozambique, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, actually, Northern Cyprus is in, but Southern Cyprus is out.
Oh, wow. Mad at the Greeks. What's up with
that?
Yeah,
it was a controversial one.
Wow. Greek Cypriots getting no Aussie league. That stinks. No. All right, we're going to come back in a few minutes here. Gino Padula on the show next segment. Sam's telling me to wave.
Sam's telling us to wave. What are we, Beverly Hillbillies?
Bye, Chris.
Oh, wave goodbye to Chris.
Bye to Chris. Right. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks.
Appreciate
a lot,
Chris.
It.
Hey, guys.
That was weird. It's the Massive Report. We'll be back in a second. Impossible for us to hear anything. Segment two of the Massive Report.
You know how you make the show shorter?
Yeah, you make it so we're all deaf.
Yeah, you blow
by
out
the
all
end of it.
Drums.
Yeah. Sorry
I'm
about
okay
that.
With it, actually.
Sorry about that, Gino.
All right.
Welcome back, segment two of the Massive Report. With Gino Padula. How you doing?
Great, thank you.
Yeah, good to have you on the show. You can't hear anything anymore. Justin Bell also on the show. Want to talk to you, Sporting Padula Soccer Academy, going strong. Give me kind of the rundown. I know Justin keeps telling me that you guys keep winning, like, everything. Is that true?
Well, We have a very, very good season.
Yeah.
We have a very good year. We finished our spring season yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, the entire year, not just this spring, last fall, I'm very happy the way the academy moved. We have a good reputation here in Columbus, and the more important for me is the kids improve. We have a family atmosphere in the club, away from the youth soccer drama. So I'm very happy with that.
That's cool. What's you've got tryouts coming up pretty soon?
Yeah, we start our tryouts tomorrow, Tuesday, 27. We'll be very busy the next 2 weeks. For this week, from tomorrow, Tuesday through Saturday, we have the youngest group, UA U12. And from next Monday, June 2nd through Friday the 6th, we have the oldest group, U13 through U18, U19.
Okay. Julia was going to try out, just pretend that she was under 18 and try out. Is that okay? Because she's short enough. I mean, yeah. I think everybody will believe her.
Messi's too short, so no problem with that.
What's going on with the how do people get a hold of you? Give me all the details if they want to get their kids signed up.
Well, they can pre-register online at www.spsocceracademy.com, and they can sign up anytime. And then we expect kids show up at least two times for tryout. And then after this week, we're building the team for next year, and nothing more. They have to go online. Justin is doing a very good job on the website. So nothing more, very simple. Take only 5 minutes, go to the website and pre-register.
It's right up on Westerville Road, right? It's Park, Catsco Park.
Yeah, just it's between Westerville Road and 161.
Very cool.
Behind Iron Pony. We do both weeks at Westerville, but during the year we train two locations, Westerville and Gahanna.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
So you did you get a chance to watch? I know obviously you've been pretty busy with the academy. Did you get a chance to watch the most recent game?
From the crew.
From the crew first.
I went to only one game this season against New York.
Okay.
At home, and I was very impressed the way they play, because I think this year what they see in that game, I cannot talk about other games. They try to play more soccer.
Mm-hmm.
They try to pass the ball from the back, and I think this team have a bright future because too many youngest players mixed with like Iwain, you know, play with more experience.
Yeah.
So I think this year we can make the playoff, and after playoff you never know.
Yeah.
Because it's only you wake up with a wrong foot one day you're back home, but I think I'm very confident. I think the new coach is doing a great job. I was talking with some people inside Columbus Crew, and they are very happy with them. And also, I'm very excited about this season.
Good. What? So, obviously got to talk about QPR.
yeah.
QPR gets promoted.
Yeah.
Your old club.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I have a great weekend because, of course, my three clubs in this war are first in River Plate, Columbus Crew and QPR, and I was very excited before this weekend. Unfortunately, I couldn't see those three games, but QPR promoted in the last minute to the Premiership. Columbus Crew beat Chicago, and River Plate won the championship last weekend, so it was a great weekend.
Nice. Yeah. Did you give Guillermo a call and give him a hard time about it?
No. I think he's very busy over there.
Yeah, no, just
he
a
might
bit.
Have a few things going on.
Just a couple of things.
Yeah, and also the U9s won.
Yeah.
We have a great tournament. Yeah,
so it was like
U9, U10, and also U12 make the finals.
It's literally every time I talk to this guy on a weekend, he's talking about how there's some final that one of your clubs is in and that they're winning.
Right.
That's literally all I hear from Justin. Obviously, if you know, he's not going to be like, oh yeah, I went to this tournament and we didn't do so well. But it's like every single weekend he's telling me how there are teams that are doing very well with the academy.
Yeah, it's a process because my first year, I remember, we never won anything. But it's a process. In the last 2 years, the teams improve. We bring good players to the clubs, and I think you see the result when you train together and you're building teams like that.
I'm trying to figure out what Nate Beckman is doing right
Nate,
now.
It's not live TV. It's live internet,
dude, you can
bro.
Walk.
You can walk
yeah, he, Nate Beckman did not want to get in front of the camera stream there.
And what are these cue cards for?
What are the cue cards?
Are you afraid your butt's going to look big? Is that what it is? Oh, 15 pounds, right, right.
Yeah.
He's also whispering, like we can't hear him.
So in the youth soccer world, I have to know this. How much of the total operating budget is Orange Slices and Capri Sun? Like, how much of the total operating budget goes into Orange Slices and Capri Sun? Or do the parents have to provide that?
I have no idea.
He doesn't do the books. That's all Justin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, that's,
we have
that's
to ask Zio. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get Zio on the phone and ask
her. I say to my wife and also to Justin, to everyone, I would like to be just focusing coaching because this is the best part of the year. Of the youth soccer because papers and dealing with different stuff is very hard.
Yeah,
this is the way we do things. We don't have Orange Slices and Capri Sun. Yesterday we had cupcakes.
What?
Nice.
Yeah, so it was. It seems like there's always a birthday some week, and so we got the greatest parents in the world. I think they always bring cake.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. How come none of you ever bring me cake?
Yeah, I never bring you cake because I don't like you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, Sam has a question.
High five.
We have like two cakes and four pies in there.
We have cakes.
Really?
Nobody told me there would be cake and pie. This is fantastic.
Fat kid.
Yeah.
Yes. You can actually call me a cake eater tonight.
At the break.
Yeah, we're going to have a cake eating contest during the third segment.
All right.
Between you and all the children who are here.
Is Landon Donovan going to be here?
Landon Donovan is going
to Don't get him started yet.
Ba-dum-bum.
Oh, man. So you excited about the World Cup?
Nah,
yeah, I can't wait.
Why would you be excited about the World Cup?
I can't wait. I would like to. And I think this World Cup is the first World Cup where you can see the strongest team in the World Cup because in the past maybe a big team is the World Cup, but I think this World Cup will be amazing also. Brazil is a very popular country for soccer, so it will be very interesting.
Yeah. Who's your money on?
Argentina always.
I was going to say.
But,
yeah, like this guy's going to say.
Yeah, but I think Brazil, what not happened that before, they have a great defenders this World Cup. They have good midfields, good forwards, and they play at home.
Yeah.
Argentina, we are strong from midfield and forward, but I'm not very sure about our defenders.
Okay.
But we'll be excited. You never know.
Okay.
So, and also I think, I don't know what you think, but I think U.S., the first game against Ghana is very important. If they can beat Ghana, they can have chances, but they have to win the first game.
A chance is what they would have at that point.
Yeah.
And it would
because
be, yeah.
I watched a few Portuguese games the last 2 years. They have two or three good forwards, but they are not very strong team, in my opinion. They have Cristiano. And if U.S., you remember 2 or 3 years ago, they beat Spain, why they cannot beat Portugal?
Yeah,
it's not possible.
As a guy who played against Landon Donovan for a few years in MLS, I know that Justin's got an opinion on this. We'll get to Justin later. What do you feel about Landon Donovan and a few of the other veterans being left off of the U.S. roster? Do you think it's a wise move to build for the future?
I think for first thing, you have to be inside what's going on between Klinsmann and Donovan. It's the same situation we have in Argentina with Tevez. We don't have Tevez, and he wasn't the best player in the Italian league. Sometimes it's more about the group than, you know, by names. If it's Klinsmann take this decision, I think he's Klinsmann is a guy who he knows what to want to do.
Absolutely.
And he doesn't want to make everyone happy. He wants to be happy. If he have a good group of players and he decide to dominate, knowing the least, it's gone. You have to move forward. That's it. It doesn't matter. We can talk here about Tevez and Donovan. 2 hours, but you have to believe in the play you have in your leads. I think if nothing happened between them, it's always good to have plays like Donovan, because I was talking with one parent yesterday. If you play against Ghana and Donovan is in the bench and playing the last 20 minutes, the Ghana defender, they know Donovan jumps in the field, maybe two or three players follow Donovan and create the space for another players, because also it's good not just inside the field, outside the field, to talk with the youngest players, talk about his experience in the last, I don't know how many World Cup he played, 2 or 3, but I think it's important for the group to have experienced players, but you have to respect the coach's decision, and you never know what's going on between Klinsmann and Donovan.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
It's a very good point. Well, Gino, we appreciate having you on, man. Thank you so much. We're going to go to another break here. SPSoccerAcademy.com, correct?
Yeah, or they can call us at 614-496-3930. Or they can send email to info@SPSoccerAcademy.com. And something important we have in our club is everyone is welcome. Because sometimes some parents they think, I'm not good enough to go to this club or that club. I coach in the same way a kid with a great skills, and we coach in the same way the rec players who come to the club just to improve.
Good.
Everyone deserves the same respect.
Good. That's cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
You're
really
welcome.
Appreciate it. Get your kids in, check it out, all that sort of stuff. Tryouts this week if they're really young, and then next week if they're not so young.
Yeah.
Did I do that right?
Yep.
Same awesome. Awesome. Sweet. We're going to come back, third segment. Way more stuff to talk about, and Justin apparently is going to talk about Landon Donovan. I don't know, something along those lines.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Don't talk too much. Talk about your team.
Don't talk about Michael Parker.
Support your team.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm going to do.
It's coming up. It's the Massive Report.
I think it's time to blow this scene. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Segment 3, Massive Report. We're back. Bell Sports Radio.
Bell Sports 1. Bell Sports 1 will be broadcasting the highlights of Landon Donovan's career.
Oh, I love it. You said that. You said that, and the audience leaves. They're going to get more beer and pie. See you, ladies.
It's very fitting.
Yeah.
Check your local listings.
It'll be on at 7, and then again at 9, then again at 9:30, then at 11, then at 3 a.m.
I thought Inside the Crew live
was 4 a.m., followed by Bruce Drennan on sports, and then at 5 a.m., 5:45 a.m., 7 a.m.
When does the hot chick come on and do the blackjack game?
7:15.
Oh, perfect. Okay, good. That's. I just want to make sure I'm watching at that point.
And then back to Leonard Donovan's career highlights at 7:30 a.m.
I don't even have the music. I'm just going to go
until somebody stops me.
Okay, then stop.
Okay.
All right.
Can't do easy.
Join.
Because there are only 11 minutes of Leonard Donovan's goals.
At 7:30 in the morning, show. Remember Danger Mouse? I was going to say something like, the show Danger Mouse.
Sam's far enough away from us tonight that we can kind of just riff on whatever we want, and he can't do much.
Brought to you by Twinkies. I think that's fitting.
Joined by Patrick Murphy and Justin Bell. Justin, you wanted to talk a little bit about Landon Donovan.
Nah.
Actually, I wanted to talk about
Michael Parkhurst and the U.S. men's national team.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do
that.
About
the U.S. men's national team.
Okay.
Because everyone else in the world is doing it, apparently.
Yeah.
I think the night that the news broke, which would have been Thursday. Oh, does it seem like it was that long ago?
Was it the night Santa
went
crazy?
It seems like just yesterday.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The night that they drove old Landon down.
To Georgia? Did he go to... Is he going to be in the expansion
songs.
Draft?
It's two different songs.
Yeah, he might be in the expansion draft the way he's going.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy... Yeah, anyway, Justin, go.
No, so it's obviously everyone knows what happened, and...
Can we just call him... I saw a picture of him from right before the Galaxy game this week. Can we just call him Lunchbox?
Lunchbox?
Can we just call him Lunchbox Donovan?
Yeah.
Because he's got the same beer gut I do. Don't, yeah, granted, it's surrounded with muscles,
so,
but he's got the same beer gut I do.
ESPN's doing that 30 for 30 thing, you know, up to the World Cup. And Rachel and I were watching the one from Saturday last night because we had to DVR it because, you know, Time Warner Cable during the day, you know, you're doing things. You can DVR stuff and then watch it later. So we did that. We watched it last night between Turn and Mad Men on Time Warner Cable on AMC.
I'm running out of beer here.
And,
I'm drinking ginger ale. Is that okay?
I'll give you one of mine. Anyway, so we're watching this, and I says to Rachel, I says, is it just me or does Landon look a little portly? And she goes, no, he looks like he's put on a few pounds. And I'm like,
no, I said they all look that way.
Well, she, okay.
It's
she
bad when she's here to correct you.
Yeah, she's totally here to correct you. This is a first.
She did.
That's
so
why I have a.
You.
That's why I have a beer gut as well.
Yeah,
it's because of how I work my core. Yeah,
he got fat.
And
Julia thinks he got fat. Yeah. That's
I mean,
my other problem.
As a guy who gained 40 pounds when he turned 30, yeah, that happens. But I don't play professional soccer for a living, and I'm not worried about making a World Cup roster.
I thought that's why you were on here.
Yeah,
I know you provided the professional soccer insight.
Coaching,
oh,
Jason Kreis.
Jason Kreis.
This.
Yeah. Where's
Salt Lake's coach?
Yeah. No. He's with Chives now, isn't he?
Oh yeah, Chives.
Right.
That's
right.
It. All right, Justin. Back to what you were talking about.
Anyway, Justin's got a few things.
Before Chris so rudely interrupted you.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. But I think. Like, when it happened, I mean, I was like everyone else. I think we were all surprised. It was a shocking thing that happened, that the decisions that he made happened. But I think it gets back to what I think I've been saying on this podcast and elsewhere for months, is that if this thing goes bad, we have such a... Let's say the fans of this of soccer in the United States have such a skewed, warped perspective based on decades of... whatever has we've been dealing with, that if for some reason the United States men's national team loses all three games in this World Cup, that it's a failure, and that Jurgen Klinsmann will be gone, will be fired. And I didn't really believe that was going to be the case, but now I do, because of this insanity that has been going on over the last 4 days. I mean, we played the intro to this song was Landslide. I mentioned before this that I'm working on an article where I think that song describes the entire attitude of all United States men's national fans. I've been afraid of changing because I built my world around you. That's exactly it.
There's, yeah.
I mean, I've been listening to podcasts over the last few days, and everyone is just wringing their hands, gnashing their teeth, crying, whining, complaining about the fact that the player that has been the face of U.S. soccer for their entire adult lives, and for some of them, their childhoods, is now no longer around, and that's just we can't get past that.
Yeah,
the guy is, you know, I actually heard someone say, and I'm going to go back to Michael Arace.
Oh
my gosh, I am, you know, people saying that this guy is the best player on this team. He's not.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
He's not.
No.
He's simply not. And they say, well, look what he did in 2010. 2010.
Yeah, that was four years ago.
4 years ago.
It's a long time.
And that team barely made it into the knockout round.
Yeah.
They lost to Slovenia, or they didn't. They played like crap against England. Played like crap and drew. Played like crap against Slovenia. Barely beat Algeria.
Yeah.
On a great play, a play that will live forever. Based on a tremendous throw distribution by Tim Howard, in which Landon Donovan was running for maybe, you know, he put an effort in that play and cleaned up the mess in the box and scored the winning goal for the United States, and we advanced.
Well,
and then got blasted by Ghana.
And if England doesn't bobble in the first
right.
game, do we advance?
Right. So the
you know there's so many question marks around that World
right.
Cup.
Right, and the it's not, and this is kind of what makes me sad, is like you're talking about like how people were talking about how Landon is out of shape, and they're putting, you know, it's we've been given a choice now by the fan base of the United States men's national team to either hate
Jurgen Klinsmann.
Uh-huh.
Hate Julian Green. Hate DeAndre Yedlin. Hate Brad Davis.
Yeah.
These are two kids who have not done anything wrong in their soccer careers, and Brad Davis, who has just been a stalwart forever.
Yeah.
And many with sort of limited talent for on a world scale. And then Jurgen Klinsmann, who is doing what he said he was going to do 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or hate your Landon Donovan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I'm talking like this, people's like, well, you hate Landon Donovan. No, I don't. I think he's great. I think he's fantastic. And I'm glad that he's...
He's a great soccer player.
I have nothing but the greatest memories of Landon Donovan.
Yeah.
But the difference between right now with Landon Donovan going to this World Cup and right now without Landon Donovan going to this World Cup is negligible. I don't care what you say. You say he's one of the best 23 players who's not going to the World Cup. Who gives a crap? He's not... It doesn't make a difference between are we going to beat Portugal, are we going to beat Germany, or are we not?
Yeah.
I still think this team can beat those two, or can compete with those two teams.
Yeah.
But if you went into this World Cup thinking that we were going to win this World Cup, I heard Alexi Lawless talking about this. This is absolutely insane, and this is where I started to lose it, was on when Alexi Lawless says you go into each World Cup thinking that you're going to win, expecting to win. Are you kidding me?
Expecting to win or wanting to win? Those are two different things.
Yeah, we all want to win World Cups. The United States, let me break something to you, is not capable of winning a World Cup right now.
Yeah.
It's not.
Aww.
Isn't it a shock? I hate to break it to you, Chris.
I had no idea.
But 20
Rachel,
years...
Rachel, come give Chris a hug. He needs a hug. I know. I don't want to touch
him. I thought we were the greatest team the world has ever seen.
You would think so.
You would.
But like...
Yeah.
But this is the argument. It's like, well, what Jurgen Klinsmann has done is now create a team that can't win the World Cup? Is that your argument, really? Is that really your argument? By leaving Landon Donovan and Michael Parker and...
What 100 years of funneling our best athletes into every other sport has done has created a U.S. national team that can't win a World Cup. It has nothing to do with Jurgen Klinsmann.
Exactly.
It has absolutely nothing to do with
Jurgen
Klinsmann.
But he's trying to change that. And that was his stated goal when he came in here. He said, what we've got to do is change this entire dynamic.
Yeah.
I remember sitting there watching in 2010, the day that the U.S. was eliminated with Bob Bradley, who it seems to me like people actually want to have come back and coach this team. My God.
Yeah.
Let that settle in.
Right.
What do you think about Egypt?
That's nuts.
By the way, for the record, he's off camera right now. Sam just flipped me off.
But I remember Jurgen Klinsmann, he was a studio analyst on the ESPN broadcast, and he was explaining at the time that the United States soccer development pyramid is completely upside down. He is absolutely 100% right, and he's trying to change that. Here's the other thing that I've heard. We have 6 players who have World Cup experience playing on this World Cup roster, and for some reason that's Jurgen Klinsmann's fault because he didn't go out and pick Onguchi Onyewu or some crap like that.
Charlie Davis.
I mean, I said, why not bring Kobe Jones? He's got a crap load of experience.
I hear Tony Miola's available.
Tony Miola, why not him?
Paul Calegari.
Where's Brian McBride doing these days?
Yeah. What is Thomas Dooley doing? I think he's coaching it.
What's Brad Friedel doing?
I'm absolutely outraged that Jeff Cunningham was not selected for this team.
You know what really pisses me off? Ethan Finley is not on this team.
Wash my damn towels!
Ethan Finley is the best chance at American soccer winning the World Cup.
But the reason why this team...
and I love all three of you.
But the reason why this team only has 6 players on the World Cup, on this team who have World Cup experience, is precisely because the system is not working.
No.
And this is how Jurgen Klinsmann is going to change that. What you should ideally have, in my estimation, is you should probably have between 10 and 11 players coming back every World Cup cycle who have experience from the previous World Cup.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have 10 players who are available to start or give good time off the bench, good minutes off the bench, who have experience. We don't have that because the system is busted, broken wide open by coaches like Bob Bradley, Bruce Arena, going back to the 90s when he first started making it back to the World Cup, and the system itself, and every single person out there who's complaining about Landon Donovan not being on the World Cup, your fault. Look in the mirror. It's your fault. You think that that we have to have results every 4 years in this one tournament, and that's how we're going to measure our success as a soccer nation. Bullshit. We measure our success as a soccer nation by having a sustainable program that rotates. The World Cup is not a destination every 4 years. It's part of the progress of keeping in the game,
yeah,
of competing. Other nations do this. They constantly have the cycle of players coming in and out and getting better and being developed. We don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
And Jurgen Klinsmann is starting that. So people like Michael Ayres, my God, that article. Please go read it. It is insanity. It is insanity.
Can I
printed in black and white on the Dispatch website, on the Dispatch newsprint. It is absolutely... He should be ashamed of what he wrote in that article.
Mm-hmm.
He compared Landon Donovan to Babe Ruth, for Christ's sake. I mean, this is nuts.
He compared Landon Donovan to The Decision.
To The Decision. To 10-cent beer night.
Which was a good idea until it went terribly, terribly wrong.
I'm always in favor of 10-cent
yeah,
beer night.
I'm,
yeah.
It's absolutely...
Yeah.
His article is indefensible. And what he ended up saying, I think that... Let me find the title of the article, which is... He called it spiteful and stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the narrative that people are glomming onto. That there's something personal between these guys. Who cares? Jurgen Klinsmann is the guy who's picking this team to go play in the World Cup. He's the guy we put in charge for the next 8 years to develop this program. And now people... I get the sense that there are people who are literally hoping that we suck in these three games simply to have Landon Donovan be vindicated.
Yeah.
For some ridiculous reason, some sense of nostalgia or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, you can tell that it makes me insane.
Yeah.
So
I couldn't tell at all.
Yeah, I didn't know you weren't happy here.
I thought you were okay with it.
No, I'm very angry.
Okay.
You're angry.
I wasn't angry until I started reading some of the responses.
Your angry voice and your happy voice,
you know,
your are
first problem.
Virtually
yes.
Indistinguishable.
The first mistake you made was that you read a Columbus Dispatch editorial about U.S. soccer.
That was a big mistake.
All due respect to Adam Jardy.
I did.
All due respect to Adam Jardy.
And I also recommended that other people go read it.
Yeah.
Please, go give them web hits.
Yeah. Well, no. You only get three freebies. Then you got to start paying. So yeah.
Or you
turn
can just
on your incognito mode.
Or you can just clear your browser cache. One of
the
two.
Wolf family.
You can... Julia, you can wave at the camera. That's totally fine. Julia just brought me a beer.
So, Justin, I have a question
yes,
for you.
Yes, please. Fire away.
Question comes from a good friend of mine named Patrick. Not you.
Not me.
Although you're a good friend.
Thanks.
You probably would have came up with this question. You just didn't text it to me.
All right.
And I lost it. I'm sorry. Where is it? There
By the
it
way,
is.
If you do have any questions for
yeah,
us...
tweet it. Text it.
Hashtag
whatever.
MRPod.
Yeah, we're live. Hey.
Yeah, we're totally
so,
live.
Question goes
I wonder
like
how many
this.
People are watching.
Nine. Because my fiance
also,
is here.
Also, wash my
Julia's
damn towels.
Question goes like this. Assuming two keepers and three injuries, only 14 players can play in a World Cup match.
Right.
Why should I care about players 15 through 23? Only 14 guys can play in one game.
You're right. And, like, probably what's going to happen is between 15 and 16 players are actually going to see the field for the entire
tournament.
During the tournament.
Right. I would put a large, significant amount of money, if my fiance would let me, on the fact that DeAndre Yedlin doesn't sniff a USA uniform.
Right.
Barring injuries.
Mm-hmm.
No, I would still say that...
Well, just to, you know, something weird.
Okay, yeah. So barring an injury. He doesn't play of his own volition.
Right.
Real
quick to answer John Sheckett's question.
Ooh.
Sam's house, John. Sam's house.
Yeah. We'll see you in a few minutes. Bring beer.
Yeah.
Or scotch.
No, we have plenty.
Yeah. Anyway, continue.
No, but DeAndre Yeldon, it's good to bring him up because a lot of people
are. Do we have to?
Well, yeah, I think so because like there's a lot of people are saying that
are
one of the reasons.
Okay, you're talking positively about something Seattle related.
Yeah.
Look, I was surprised that he was picked to make this 23, but it makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, and if you think about it, I mean, we've heard that the reason why he's on the World Cup and it's on this World Cup squad is it's at the expense of Michael Parkhurst being on this team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you think about it, probably Timothy Chandler is going to play that spot, and he's a good player.
Right.
He's a quality player. That's fine. That's fine with me. Now, between Yedlin and Parkhurst, probably neither one of them would play in this circumstance. I mean, unless there's a catastrophic injury to Timothy Chandler. And so who's going to be the better practice player? In my opinion, it's...
Michael Parkhurst.
I would say Yedlin.
Really?
Because, yeah, Yedlin is going to give you some speed and some just pure athleticism. And that's what he's got.
He's going to be easy to beat. The kid runs fast,
but
he jumps high.
He's not going to be playing.
But he's not wise.
He's not going to be playing defense
in practice. You don't think
he's going to be fulfilling? He's going to be filling a role of like a Cristiano Ronaldo, for instance.
All right.
He's going to be playing that role. He's going to be saying, you know, stick, mark this guy.
Okay,
yeah,
by that logic, I'll give you
right.
that.
So I mean, I'm not a it doesn't matter to me. I mean, basically, you're arguing between who's the better practice player. And I'm going to say it's pretty much a toss-up, and I'm going to give it to Yedlin because of his athleticism.
Well, and if you're looking at it from that perspective, you know, Yedlin's going to be around, whereas in 4 years, Parkhurst
yes,
is not.
Yeah.
You know, Parkhurst's national team days, I wrote this the other day, you know, meaningful national team games may be done.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and that, you know, it's a shame for him because he's a member of the crew and we'd like to see him do well. But, you know, from Jurgen Klinsmann's perspective, who does it make sense to take?
You know what's, not to
interrupt,
but the thing that I was curious about after I read the announcement of the 23 was what did Clint Dempsey, who's the captain of the squad, say when he found out that Landon Donovan wasn't going to Brazil? Because that's a, I mean, those two play, they made, I get the feeling that they hate each other's guts. But they play together relatively well and have for the past couple, three World Cups. You know, if I'm Clint Dempsey, I'm questioning Jurgen Klinsmann, and I want a really good, you know, a really good explanation. I'm going to accept whatever explanation, and if that explanation is because I'm the coach and I pick the two players that are going to win the game, then that's fine, but I still would like a little bit of... Do you guys think that Deuce put up a little bit of a fight, or at least asked for...
I don't think he put up a fight. He may have asked the question.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
I'm sure that was something that happened, but at the end of the day, I mean, you know...
You can't really fight your influence, and that's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, It's his... He is shaping the United States soccer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm glad you brought up Dempsey, because, you know, I think when we talked about this earlier, you know, I was talking about how... The two players that really need to have a great World Cup for the United States to do well are Dempsey and Altidore.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are pointing at the defenders and saying we're short of defense. By the way, why don't we have any experienced center backs in the United States men's national team? That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean that shows you exactly.
Proves the complete lack of development that we have. Yeah, but that statement is one ACL tear away from having a guy who is a, what, 4-year starter for AC Milan? I mean, because Gooch had just started playing for Milan when he tore his ACL.
He was, you know what, going into 2010, I thought he was just a huge question mark even then. And that was before he was...
He may have been a huge question mark, but he was a huge question mark that got bought out by one of the biggest clubs in the world. So they saw something, and not to discount Bell Sports One... But AC Milan saw a little bit of something in Gooch.
AC Milan sees a lot of weird things in a lot of weird places.
This is a very valid point.
Like those leprechauns.
Were you guys surprised how early the announcement came?
Very.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand it from the perspective of now you have your team, no one's worrying about it. You know, you can...
The big
can,
fixture tomorrow night against Azerbaijan.
Right, but I mean,
I
expected it to be the end, you know, as late as he possibly could.
You mean when everybody else announced theirs?
Right.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
You know, one of these days it's going to be, they're going to do the World Cup draw, and then he's just going to be like, yep, and here's my roster. These are the teams that we're playing. Here are the starting lineups. Let's go.
It would be great if that was the case. Like when we say, yeah, these are our 11 best guys. These are going to be the guys who are starting. Yeah. We know them. Bang.
You know, and it's,
I mean, eventually, I think
that's
we
a
could
really
get
good
there.
Point because every other country in the world can, on the day of the draw, can name probably 8 of their 11 starters.
Did you guys know that Azerbaijan's on the Caspian Sea between Iran and Russia?
Actually, I
do.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah.
I didn't either.
Yeah,
it's the land of fire.
It's the land of fire.
It's also known as Mordor.
It's also they're also the shirt sponsor for the other team in Madrid.
Yes, they are.
Yeah,
Athletic.
Wow.
But just another thing about this, about the snubs. You know, right now we have...
They're not snubs. They're decisions.
No.
Based in fact.
Here's a headline on MLS Live. Clarence Goodson not pleased with U.S. men's national team snub.
Well,
Clarence Goodson. Clarence Goodson is now... See, this is what happens when you say, well, he doesn't know what he's doing. He obviously doesn't know what he's doing. He's not going to take Landon Donovan. Well, now you've opened the door for people like Clarence Goodson to be indignant about this.
Well, you mentioned
Clarence Goodson is questioning Jurgen Klinsmann. That is the insanity door that you guys have kicked wide open.
By the way, I don't know if you knew this or not, but actually a feral rabbit ran into U.S. soccer headquarters with a note duct taped to it from Eddie Gavin.
Why you no call me? This is craziness. This is
it
insanity.
Was actually, it also had a knife sticking. It wasn't duct taped. It was actually just knifed in the back of the rabbit.
bite mark on one of the rabbit's ears is written up. But, like, I mean, this is, I think there are legitimate times when you should question your head coach. This is totally not one of them.
No.
Absolutely not.
Wait. Sorry.
No.
Are you doing your thought?
Yeah, go on.
I'm flipping through the MLS.
Who else got snubbed? Please tell us.
By the way, there was another. There was a press release released by Chad Marshall, and all it said was, "All it said is that makes sense." that was it. That's all it said.
No, wait. Then there must have been two, because the one I saw said, "Dude,
dude."
So, did you guys know that Azerbaijan's coach Bertie Vogts is a special advisor to Jurgen Klinsmann?
Bertie Vogts. Yeah, he...
I had no idea.
Is he related to Glauber Berte?
No. They're, okay. No relation.
Okay. There's
more than one Berte in the world. Come on.
They have a long relationship.
If I'm not mistaken, I think Bertie Vogts actually coached in Egypt at one point.
Yeah.
No. He was also
German
neighbor.
Coach.
What do you know about the Egyptian national team, Seth?
Yeah, what do you know about the Egyptian national team? Mr. Drinking Fountain in my bathroom. All right, we're gonna go to break here. We're going to come back. Actually, Kurt Larson... Or not Larson.
Yes.
Is that his last name?
Yes.
From the Sun.
Kurt Larson.
He works for the Sun.
Curtis Larson.
And his name is Curtis Larson. That's why I got confused. I apologize. Toronto FC beat writer for the Toronto Sun going to be joining us in the next segment. Because we play Toronto this week.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Indeed.
It's the Massive Report. Back in a minute.
Let me take you down. The Sky Dome and the CN Tower too. I hate Nathan Phillips Square and the Ontario Zoo. The rent's too high, the air's unclean, the beaches are dirty and the people are mean. And the women are big and the men are dumb, and the children are loopy because they live in a slum. The water is polluted and the mayor's a dork. They dress real bad and they think they're New York and Toronto. Ontario.
And we're back, segment four of the Massive Report. Matt Gosher joined once again by Patrick, Justin, and Chris. Curtis Larson from the Toronto Sun on the line with us as well. How you doing, man? Oh, I think we lost him. All right. Do you want to try to get him back, Sam, and we'll go from there?
Hi, everybody, by the way.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, yes. Hello.
Yeah, we'll do this. We'll do this until we get him back.
Yeah.
This is.
So, guys...
Yeah. Hey, cool, man. Cool. Well, thank you for coming on the show, Curtis Larson from the Toronto Sun. Crew obviously play Toronto this weekend in Toronto, so we wanted to get you on the show. Good start for Toronto FC this year. What is it? And now, of course, the minute I say that, my phone times out as far as that goes. But it looks like right now 4-4-1. Good start. 13 points. 3 points out of a playoff. Out of the playoffs at this point. So definitely within striking distance. What are your thoughts so far on the Toronto team?
Yeah, I mean, I guess when you say it's a good start, it's all relative, right? Because,
yeah,
you know, 500 in this league is, well, in most leagues, it's completely average, and I think that's what they've been. I think they're about right where they deserve to be. I know they've had a few good road wins in Seattle and then at Columbus they did well, but then they've also had a lot of disappointing performances, dropping points in New England and Colorado at home, and then, you know, a really, really bad showing in Kansas City on Friday night, if anybody watched that one. You know, sure, they're missing a few pieces, but really down on the performance in general. So, I think Ryan Nelson, the head coach, knew it was going to be kind of a roller coaster this season with all the new pieces. So I think we're seeing that, and I think he was right in predicting that.
By the way, just real quick on the, especially talking about the coaching staff, when can we have Duncan back?
Yeah, you know what? Duncan kind of flies under the radar up here. We don't see him that much or talk to him that much. I think he kind of likes to hide and be in the cracks and do the behind the scenes stuff. So, everything Nelson says about him though is that he's a top quality guy, and everything out of Columbus is that they want him back. So he must be doing something right.
Exactly. You can't honestly tell me you've never had a beer with Duncan Otton.
Kurt Larson has never had a beer with Duncan Otton. The coaching staff likes to keep to itself. Man, they never invited me out, believe it or not.
Yeah, well, no, I can totally understand that. You know, kind of opposing sides there.
There's got to be with Toronto being such a large city though. There's got to be a New Zealand bar somewhere, and if so, Duncan's probably there most nights. Just as a suggestion, just a thought.
Yeah, I know. And the thing is when you have a team up here that's been as bad as TFC, is the coaches don't really want to spend a lot of time with you. So that's one way to look at it, I guess.
All right. So we've got obviously the matchup going on. I know Toronto played to Kansas City this weekend. Drew, it was a 2-2, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, it was a 2-2 draw. Stephen Caldwell in that match for Toronto picking up a red card. You've got players out for international duty. We do as well. What are your thoughts coming up on the match on Saturday with the Crew?
Well, I think it's two clubs kind of headed in opposite directions. I mean, Columbus picks up a bounce back win, and TFC is kind of going in the opposite direction, where they put in a really poor performance in Kansas City. I mean, Kansas City missing five starters by my count and six or seven key pieces really controlled things from start to finish against Toronto FC. I mean, the scoreline might not indicate it, but really TFC had two chances and they put them both away. That's the kind of the cruel nature of this game. I think the scoreline masked what was maybe TFC's worst outing of the year. So I think Columbus is kind of coming into town and had a good opportunity, especially when you consider TFC plays midweek Canadian Championship.
Pat Murphy here. You mentioned earlier about the turnover with the team, but with the star players that came in and Bradley and Defoe, you know, what's kind of the vibe about this team around the fan base, and you know, where are people expecting this team to go? Maybe not even necessarily this year, but you know, what do people think about this team with all the big names they've got now?
Well, there's kind of two mindsets up here. I think Tim Bielicki, the CEO of MLS, he kind of talked this club up to be something bigger than it was right now. I think the expectation here, of course, is playoffs. But I think, you know, in the grand scheme of things, this club isn't anywhere near the RSLs or the Kansas Cities when they're healthy, or the Seattles. It's still somewhere in between, and it's still probably on the fringes of the playoffs. It's also a different team than Michael Bradley's playing, and Michael Bradley's only played in roughly half the games. I think, you know, in Columbus, everybody saw, he's a player that's still capable of taking over a game and really pushing the tempo and doing the job at both ends. So a really big miss coming up on Saturday at BMO Field, and Columbus should be able to take advantage of it, in my opinion.
So I've been told by our producer, Sam, that you're actually going to get to go to the World Cup this year?
Yeah, you know, it's a hard job, but somebody's got to do it.
Yeah. So what are you looking forward to the most?
You know, I don't know. It's my first World Cup covering it actually on the ground in that country. I've heard that, you know, covering a World Cup kind of changes you, and it's one of those things where you don't really know what you're getting into until you get there. The transportation is going to be a nightmare, and all this is just not even talking about the game. It's everything in between that's so difficult.
Yeah.
The game itself, I expect it to be completely easy, but you know, I've been to places like Honduras and Panama to cover the Canadian national team, so. You know, if you can survive San Pedro Sula, I think you can survive anywhere on Earth.
Fair, yeah. So, I don't want to cut you off.
You're good.
Okay, good, because you've got the real soccer questions. I'm just filler here. Justin, you have anything? So, my question is, so coming up, the Crew game, the Toronto match, without Higuain, who is it that you are... That you think that Toronto is going to have to, I don't want to say keep an eye on, but definitely, you know, always have in the back of their head as the guy that is going to create for Columbus, because everybody knows that Higuain is, you know, is the motor that runs this team. Obviously, all of the goals this year that were anything at all went through Higuain. Is that something that you have given kind of some thought to and a little bit of celebration knowing that he's going to miss this game?
Well, first of all, I don't really celebrate anything because I don't really support the club. I kind of look at myself as an independent person. But, when Dominic Badoro's healthy, he's one of the most explosive players in the league. I think while he's been inconsistent over the past few years in MLS, and I think that he kind of has the speed to exploit a TSC back four that's going to have a rookie starting and then somebody playing in place of Stephen Caldwell, whether that's Bradley or Donald Henry. And I think that's something that Ryan Nelson and the coaching staff are going to have to look at, how to control and cut down the amount of space a player like that has.
Well, you know, you mentioned a couple times that the performance on Friday night wasn't the greatest, maybe the worst that you said of the season. But still, I mean, that's a good result for a team that was playing with 10 men against the defending champions, despite their shorthandedness, I suppose. And then, of course, missing Michael Bradley. But I mean, that's a good result for a team that you said played so poorly. Is that something that Toronto fans are willing to accept, or do the fan base still feel that they deserve better?
I mean, I think the fans are looking at it two different ways. I think everybody's pointed out that going on the road and winning in Kansas, or getting a result in Kansas City, getting a draw in Kansas City, you know, is nothing to slag. But at the same time, for me, heading into that match with TFC being, you know, pretty much healthy, and Kansas City being so wounded, I thought it was just a chance for Toronto FC to step up, really kind of take an opportunity to move up the table in the Eastern Conference after dropping a few home dates. And I thought that not only did they not perform well against a Kansas City side that was missing 7-8 players, mm-hmm, all their center backs, they pretty much got ran off the field. I mean, listen, if Bradley Orr doesn't have an individual moment at the end on a recycled restart, TFC's only, you know, second chance of the game, then we're talking about a completely different thing right now. You know, that's the nature of the game. It's true. The ultimate stat is the scoreline. So, you know, you have a point there. But at the same time, I'm looking kind of long-term and what will the result be in games like this over the course of a season? And I think they'll mostly be losses if they continue to play like that.
Well, again, I mean, that's really interesting to I think, some of our fans down here, is because, I mean, knowing the history between Toronto and Columbus, it seems like there's always been a divergence between the supporters' cultures or the priorities that the supporters have. And that's interesting to me there seems to be like a standard that is being expected out of this team all of a sudden. And it is, if they don't achieve, let's say, the playoffs this year, or even better than that, say advancing in the playoffs, do you think that there's going to be a hue and cry for more changes?
Yeah, I think if TSC doesn't make the playoffs this year after investing $100 million in players over the lifetime of contracts, I think, you know, Ryan Nelson's probably going to be at a different place next season if the club isn't finished top five in the East. I mean, there's really no excuse, because when you look at the roster, it's good enough to get into the playoffs when it's completely healthy and when they have all their players back. So you have to turn your attention elsewhere if this team doesn't land somewhere above 50 points this season. And right now, they're on pace to be, I think, at or below that. So, you know, trying times for Ryan Nelson. I think, you know, if he drops this game coming up on Saturday, then, you know, fans are going to continue to be down on this manager as they were last year. I think everybody wants to give him a full season. But at the same time, you're also bringing into the equation people like Gilberto, the forward who hasn't scored yet. And was that a Ryan Nelson player? So, with a 500 record and with, you know, lack of playoffs comes increased pressure on the coach.
And how does the Voyagers Cup play into that? Does he need to win the domestic cup?
No, I think the fans put a lot into that. I don't think the coaching staff or MLSC or the board put as much into that as making the postseason. I mean, that's where you're going to make your money. That's where you're going to get the most TV time, the most attention is if you get into the MLS postseason and make some noise. So You know, the Voyager Cup, I still think is kind of viewed as a nice to have, but at the same time, it's also a burden on a coach who's trying to make the playoffs for the first time if you're playing midweek game after midweek game after midweek game in the CONCACAF Champions League. So, you know, it's a blessing and a curse. They're going to try and win it, I think, but at the same time, they won't be completely disappointed later in the year if they don't.
And it's not the Trillium Cup, too.
It's not the prestige of the Trillium Cup. Curtis, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Curtis Larson from the Toronto Sun. Thanks for coming on the show. We hope to have you back sometime soon, man.
Yeah, man. Anytime. We'll see you. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. Take care. That was Curtis Larson from the Toronto Sun, and we're going to kind of wrap the show up now, guys. I liked this. This was nice.
Yeah, it's really
kind
nice.
Of under the blood red sky. I don't know, something along those lines.
I've gotten a couple mosquito bites.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I have gotten the citronella candles are not working, Sam. Just so you're
aware.
It's
because you're so sweet.
It is.
Yeah.
It's because
you should be more like me. I'm fine.
It's because the bugs want to get drunk. That's
Justin,
what,
you're
that's
probably
really
all right. Are you okay?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah, you and me, we're doing fine. Yeah. We're not as sweet as Matt.
Drinking the ginger
Matt,
ale.
You know.
Yeah, we're apparently good. Something along those
Verner's,
lines.
Right.
Yeah. Verner's ginger ale.
My frost top is doing its wonders.
All right. Well, let's go into score predictions real quick here.
I forgot we're live on video.
Yeah, we are live. Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh, people are actually looking at me.
That is kind of jarring, isn't it?
Yes,
like,
it is.
Sudden,
every now and then I remember that. Oh, they can see me texting. Yeah,
literally, 12 people can see us. Huh?
Stop scratching myself during 11, the show.
11
people.
Also,
11 people.
Also,
11?
Hi, John Checkett.
Right. Hi, John Checkett. John Checkett showed up.
Yeah, John.
How's it going, John Checkett?
Doing well.
Thanks for coming out.
Yeah, for real.
We appreciate
for real.
It. So yeah, that was funny. He was watching, and now he's here.
But you didn't bring beer.
Yeah,
you had one job.
Yeah, you were supposed to bring scotch. Is actually
a whole box of wine in my
fridge. Well, I mean, that's got some. Well, yeah, Matt will drink anything.
I will drink anything.
Do you have any antifreeze?
I have some coolant in my car.
Oh, there we go.
Well, we're perfect then. We're perfect. We're gonna party all night. So let's do score predictions real quick, and then let's put this one to bed, shall we, Patrick? You need to do score predictions, and by predictions, I mean you need to predict the score of the Voyagers Cup this weekend, or Wednesday, or whenever it is. No, U.S.-Azerbaijan tomorrow, and then the crew match. You're the only one who has to predict U.S.-Azerbaijan.
Are you giving everyone a different game?
No.
No, all right. Well, if Landon Donovan's not playing, then, no, I'm kidding. Let's go 4-0 U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll say that the crew get out of Toronto with a 1-1 draw, because that's been the common score of the year.
Cool. Justin, crew game.
Crew game, I think we're going to win 4-1.
Azerbaijan, USA.
I want to make a joke so bad.
They aren't willing to fire.
Yeah, I think we're going to win, let's say, 3-2.
Uh-huh.
And people will lose their minds. Absolutely. They're going to lose their minds for the entire game.
That's hilarious.
I'm telling you what, if Landon was there, we'd have won this game 17-0.
Stay off Twitter.
Yeah.
Do like I did. Quit Facebook. Just quit it.
Yeah.
Quit it.
I was wondering how many times you were going to mention that during the match or during the show today.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Nope.
Not as many times as you talked about Time Warner Cable.
Yeah, it's because, you know, I have replaced the time that Facebook took up in my life with watching more quality programming on Time Warner Cable, including the crew and all of... three of their... Actually, the crew shows on Time Warner Cable, I know that none of you guys can see it. All kidding aside, the locally produced content that they're doing for the Columbus crew is grade A1 top-notch stuff. It's really well done. It's very cool, very entertaining programming, and I'm not pitching anything here. I'm just saying, for the small audience that can see it, it's really good stuff.
I have friends with Time Warner Cable, so I've seen some of it, and I agree. It is.
You know, honestly, when I was in high school, I lived across the street from a very, very pretty girl, and for the small audience that can see it in her bedroom window, it was quality programming. I'm just saying.
Quality
programming. I'm just,
Also on Bell Sports 1, Peeping Tom.
All right, Chris.
The travails of a young boy.
You asking for my score prediction?
Yeah, score prediction. Go.
I don't really cheer for anything. I try to keep myself separated from all that.
Okay, fair enough. Sam, what do you got?
Which one?
Toronto, crew.
2-2 tie.
All right, U.S. Azerbaijan.
Don't really care.
Egypt versus...
Who's Egypt playing?
Nobody.
No, they're playing a friendly.
Are they?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Here, I can look it up.
Southern Cyprus?
It's on MLSsoccer.com app.
Is it Southern Cyprus?
No.
Okay.
It's, I just saw it. Where'd it go?
Is it Ecuador again?
No, I lost it. I'm sorry, guys.
All right. No big deal.
I had one job.
All right, my prediction for the crew match, 2-1 victory against Toronto. My prediction for U.S. Azerbaijan, Azerbaijan forfeits because they don't have planes there.
Because they wanted to play Landon Donovan.
They wanted to play against Landon Donovan. So they and all Michael go Parkhurst. To, yeah, they all, where's the game being played? L.A., San Francisco, New York.
Quick, somebody tweet me the Palo name of a city in Azerbaijan.
Yeah, no, it's in the U.S.
I know it's curious if Azerbaijan has cities.
It's in Palo Alto? Okay, so the entire Azerbaijani national team just goes to a bar in Palo Alto.
They go get
That's the beginning of a joke, by the way. The entire Azerbaijani national team walks into a bar in Palo Alto with a priest and a rabbi.
And somebody with Google Glass goes, hey, look.
Let's put this show to bed, Sam. Yes, can please. We, please? I did want to say one thing. You know, this is Memorial Day. Thank you to everyone who served. Thank you to everyone who helped serve this country, protect this country, anything along those lines. For everybody here, Patrick, Sam, Chris, Justin, everybody else who was on the show earlier, Nate, other Patrick, Gino. This is the Massive Report. Our debt to the heroic men and valiant women in the service of our country can never be repaid. They've earned our undying gratitude. America will never forget their sacrifices. This has been the Massive Report. Happy Memorial Day.